show each of you. I fill with words and good words. And something that we all love to hear, and that is good spiritual singing, spiritual service, and many, many good words have come to us tonight concerning register to vote. And not only that, something has been said that will help all of us. The words that is encouraging, words that is stimulate the heart and soul. I just want to stop just for a minute and say this. Something like a class was organized, and this class was made up out of the bird, the rabbit, the duck, and the turtle. So each one was given an assignment in this class, and they all had the same subject. The bird could fly, but he couldn't walk fast. The rabbit could run, but he couldn't swim fast. The turtle by all means, he was very slow in his walk. He could swim, but he couldn't walk fast. So they all had to take the same lesson. The turtle had to take the lesson of running. And the bird had to take the lesson of walking fast. The rabbit had to take the lesson, subject of swimming. And when they began their task in this class, they struggled with the parts that they couldn't do well. So until when it come to their time to do the thing that they could do, they was all tired and worn out. And so therefore, they couldn't do any of them. So I kind of feel like that tonight. I was asked to do something else on the program. By running a little late, it causes me can't do either one. So I will say this, I am very, very happy and always happy to be in this service. And at a time like this, I think we all should be here. The church should have been full. Not one night, but every night. Because if it's a time for us to stand and stand on the right, it is time now. Let us once think about that when we were seeking our soul salvation, we made a vow with God. We said to him, if he free our soul from the gates of hell, we serve him the balance of our days. Now, let us look around and see how we're standing on today. And then look up to the heavens and say, Lord, I made a vow some time ago, and I'm now ready to make another. and that is a vow with you to stand for the right. If you have to stand alone, stand there. So we will say this, all of us, within our hearts, in mind tonight. Let us all stand for the right. And as I said just a minute ago, we made this vow. Let us make another and say to our God, just as you brought us through from whence we come from, which was out of darkness into light, we want you to lead us safely through the valleys of the shadow of death, because we fear no evil, for thine art with us. So let us take another vow with God and say, Lord, if you hold our hands, we'll go on. We know that you have been, times after time, a leaning prop to us. And we want you to be with us now. Let us continue to pray, because prayer is the key to the kingdom. Let us have more faith and let us be more willingly to call upon him, because we know him. He's a God that we know, and he's the only God. He's the true living God. So let us continue in our service.
At this time, we will have a solo by Miss Betty Fikes.
Thank you.
by Mr. Porter.
Talking of people 35, 25, 18, 17 contribute to juvenile delinquency. So some of your adult juveniles come out. Okay? I mean, it doesn't matter about that. Like you said about that worm, you know, that foot is going to mash some of you people in. Not just drug tie, that foot. You know, like a bug. You might not have got the way. This is your chance. If you flop now, it's going to be bad. You think you can catch it, it's late. It's late. Just make a flop. You're going to catch it, what? Because you're going to use everything against you. I don't have no job. I lost one. I was working on the man's house. Paying me. He saw him on TV, you know. I went back next morning. He said, I'm sorry, can't use you. That's 4 or 5 more. So the same thing, you know. You got to do something. Anything you got is not worth having. Right? Now you should be ashamed, you know. Like that lady, Mrs. Gregory, came all in Chicago. She's an adult, you know. Know that she was expecting. But she had the gall, the guts, to carry a sign. Ready to vote. She's been in jail a week. And no adult come out. Oh, one morning I had about 4 or 5. Yeah, it's nice she came down. We're gonna go, but I gotta go home and cook, you know. That's what the other man wanna see. You gotta fool him, see? You gotta keep on fooling them. If you don't wanna come anyway. Just sit down, you gotta clap. Don't clap, don't sing, just be here. And Monday, do the same thing at the courthouse. They can read, write, whatever. Just be present. Come on and see me, let me see you. Because, you can't even close the door. You wanna close the door, you can't close the door. Know why? Because it's fear. You take a dog out there and put him in the fence. You tie him. It's a dog. That's his dog. Not you, but a dog. D-O-G. Right? Okay. Take a rope, put around the neck. You got a fence around it. If he's trying to get out of the yard, you can't hold him. And I don't care how strong, wide, rope, or chain, you're going to get out. So we are people. Do the same thing. They're going to hold you down. Get away. It's an old 12-cent job, 12 hours a week. Look at it. I'm a mad man. I have a wife and 3 children. Might expect me to. No job. But $12 not going to help me. So if you come out, leave those TVs alone, leave that lady's kitchen. And try to make money. Now, I was asked to make a financial appeal. But I mean, I feel kind of bad. No adult. Okay, some of your adults are not working, and your TV may be broke tomorrow. Hold your hand up. You come out tomorrow. I can't get with one hand. You're adult. 17 and above. Now, shoot, no, I know. 25 and above, man. Because the adult, they sit down over the call. You know, we still have 17 to go up. Be here tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're a duck, a willing. Wait a minute. Who all be free? You want to be free? I bet one. So you want to be free? And you're tired of your second class citizen. That courthouse downtown, you pay tax on it. We all pay tax. You can't use the facilities. Like you say, I was down this morning, you know, in the courthouse. And I had to use the latrine. I had to go outside, down the steps, into the basement. But here's still my text to the building. You come on and get this idea about voting, we can change all that. Now we say you want to give a little money, take the election now. Next this row, that side, come around and put the money on the table. Go back around to the seat. Okay? All right. Same this row, that side. Good. some night, you pass some cards out, you ask them your name, an address, a phone number. Then you bring them back. I pass them out now. I pass, I had 800, but I didn't pick up that money. A minute ago, a young lady asked me what time tomorrow morning. I'll be here at 7 until. So anytime you want to come out, feel free to come. Not as much.
Students are requested by Mr. Cleophas Hobbs to remain after this mass meeting. When they told me that those people who were arrested for unlawful assembly, which means that you cannot get on the street with two or three people and talk because the other folk don't know what you're talking about, and they were lodged in jail. Some of the fines, $2,500, because you talked with your friends on the street, or because you got a placard and had something written on it, or because your shirt had something written on it. And yet, people with the blood of four innocent children dripping from their hands were turned loose almost scot-free with $300 bond. And if that isn't enough to make you feel as though you've got something to fight for, and what you have to fight for is liberty. You don't have it. I don't have it. You fight for freedom. You fight for the thing that you have sent your sons, your daughters, your fathers, and your mothers for across seas, to fight for freedom, to fight for the right to be first-class citizens. And now it is our time not to talk about what happened over there to free this country, but something that is happening right here and the part that we can play. To the younger people who are under 21 years of age, we want you to learn, to study,
and to be able to understand the application for registration and voting. We want you to be able to go back to your homes and show your mothers and your fathers how to fill out a blank for registration and voting. Now, there are a few states, may I say, that have a whole long rigmarole stuff, that's all it is, stuff, that you are to fill out to become a first-class citizen when you have to pay the same tax as anybody else or any other part of the country. In the North, the West, and many other places, even in the South, you give your name, you give your date of birth, and you tell just how long you have been staying in that place. And then you become a registered voter. But here you have a whole lot of questions, actually, that don't mean a thing. It's just something to confuse and to make Negroes stay away. Now, there are cases we have to fill them out, but there are cases where people of the other race have gone up there and they haven't been able to read and write, and the board, whoever is on the board, either one or the other, has written these things out for the people of the other race, and they have made crosses because they didn't know how to write, but they are registered voters. And yet, whenever one little thing is wrong, if your T isn't crossed or your I isn't dotted, so to speak, you are turned down, and they send you a letter saying because of one or more pertinent questions being answered wrongly, you have been denied the certificate for registration. Now, this is the one thing that Uncle Sam can walk in here and say that we will try you for having disfranchised or kept the Negro from becoming a first-class citizen. This is the weapon. I mean, I say fight, I don't mean fight with guns and pistols and whatnot, because we know we cannot win. God will not be on our side, and God is not on the other fellow's side, because he's going to be paid for his mistreatment. So now we have the ballot, which is a wonderful weapon. And how is it a wonderful weapon? There are 13,000 Negroes in Dallas County who are at the age that they can cast a vote for or against the person. And if you don't like the fellow who has been pushing and knocking Negroes around with prodding irons and beating them across the head for nothing and saying boy to a person 40 and 50 years old, saying, and I'm going to use a name for myself, Mary Doe. And wherever you see Mary Doe, you can place your name in there. This is a sample of your application that you will fill out. You may find that the questions are what we call juggled. In other words, when you get up there, the questions may not be exactly in the same place that these questions are in. But anyway it is, you do the best you can. Sign your name and leave it out there and come out feeling like you have done your part. Does everybody have a blank? All right, we will begin. And if you wish to go through it and take a pencil and write it, it's all right. If not, you may just listen and go through it yourself when you get home. At the top we have, do not take this application to the courthouse. Application for registration, and also you have a questionnaire and an oath. The application begins like this. I, Mary Doe, do hereby apply to the Board of Registrars of Dallas County, State of Alabama, to register as an elector under the Constitution and laws of the state of Alabama, and do herewith submit answers to the interrogatories propounded to me by said board. Now let me explain that to you. It simply means to say that I do herewith write the answers to questions that are on this blank. That's all that means. Those words are nothing. Then sign your name, Mary Dorr. I'm signing my name, you sign yours. Questionnaire number one. State your name, the date and place of your birth, and your present address. Now you have four things there in that one question. Number one, your name. Number two, your date. Number three, the place. And number four, your present address. All right? Name, Mary Doe. Date of birth, August 18th, 1930. Place, that's not my age. Place of birth, Orville, Alabama. And the present address, 1315 Lapsley Street, Selma, Alabama. You've answered number one. Number two, have you previously applied for and been denied registration as a voter? If you have never gone up there, put no. Then if you have been up there, you say yes. And they ask you, if so, give the facts. Now, if you have not been up there and you said no, that answers that particular question altogether. If you have been up there and you have been turned down, just put on that what they gave to you. Because of having missed one or more questions, I have been turned down. That's all you have to say. Number three, has your name been previously stricken from the list of persons registered? That question to 99 and 99 hundredths of us would be no, because we have not been given a chance to register, and consequently it hasn't been taken from the list. Did I see somebody's hand? If you have a question of any description as I go through this, if you will hold your hand up, I will try to explain it to you. Number four, has your name, number four, are you now, or have you ever been a dope addict or a habitual drunkard? That question to practically all of us is no. Now, you have an A and a B. You have number one, and then you have a part of it under there, and all of them must be answered one way or the other. Where it does not concern you, just put a check. And that check simply means that I have read the question and it doesn't refer to me. Now, I'll read that over again, and we're going to put a check to this A part. Are you now, or have you ever been a dope addict or a habitual drunkard? The answer, no. Now, and the A part of that is, if you are or have been a dope addict or a habitual drunkard, explain as fully as can, as you can. Then you put a check there, and that means that it doesn't refer to you. Number five, have you ever been legally declared insane? That's crazy. Your answer, no. And they say, if so, give the details. The details do not concern you because you have never been declared insane. Then put a check there, which means that you have read that and it does not relate to you. Number six, give a brief of any. Now, if you're going to write this and I'm going too fast, if you let me know, I'll slow down. Number six, give a brief statement of the extent of your education and your business experience. All right? If you have finished the seventh grade, just say, finished seventh grade. Or if you have finished the fifth grade, say, finished the fifth grade. If you are a graduate of high school, just say high school graduate. Or a college, you will say BS, AB, or MA, because you'll be surprised. We've got some MAs and some PhDs and whatnot that a seventh grader has turned down because a seventh grader happens to be on the board of registrars, and yet they turned down a PhD. So whatever your education is, you put it there. And they said also in the same question, what is the extent of your business experience. If you're a dressmaker, say dressmaker for 6 years. If you are a stenographer or bookkeeper, just say bookkeeper 10 years, stenographer 5 years, or whatever it might be. Whatever your experience is. If you are a beautician, just put beautician for the same length of time that you have been. Number 7, have you ever been charged with? Now this question is a question that has a whole lot of words, as I said, and means actually a very simple thing. Have you ever been charged with or convicted of a felony or crime involving moral turpitude? And it seems as though it'll scare even some of the folk who made up these things. Actually, the question simplified is, have you ever been charged or convicted with a crime or anything that causes you to have to be arrested for immorality? And that's the whole thing. Have you ever been convicted of a crime, or have you been arrested for a crime, or for having committed an immoral act? If the question is in this question, if your answer is no, put no there. And where they say if so, give the facts, you make a check. If you have been convicted of a felony or a crime, then the fellow who killed Mo up in North Alabama would say no, because he's never been convicted. He's been turned scot-free, yet he is a murderer. But if you have been convicted, then put yes. And at the on the first line, you can state what it was for, because some of these convictions may not actually be convictions. Number 8, have you ever served in the armed forces of the United States government? Yes, if you have. And at the end of part A, they say state when and for approximately how long. If you went to the armed services in 1940, then you state September 1940 and remained, or you were discharged in 1950 or 1950. If you have not served in the armed forces, say no and put a check where you see the line, any of those lines. Now turn over on the back of the page and you will see number 9. Have you ever been expelled or dishonorably discharged from any school or college, or from any branch of the armed forces of the United States, or from any other country? In most cases, it will be no, and they say, if so, state the fact. If you have not been expelled, then put a check. If you have, then, of course, you place in there the time and state briefly what it was for. Number 10, will you support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alabama? If anybody is actually a citizen without being given citizenship, certainly it is the Negro, because we have defended the United States and the Constitution of the state in which we lived low these many years. Your answer would be yes, because you will support, you have supported, and you will defend, because you have defended the Constitution. Number 11, Are you now, or have you ever been affiliated, which means a part of, any group or organization which advocate, or that was their objective, the overthrow of the United States government or the government of any state of the United States by unlawful means? Now that simply means, have you ever been a member of any organization that would like to overthrow the government of our United States or the state in which you live or any state? Your answer would be no. Number 12, will you bear arms for your country when called upon by it to do so? Your answer certainly would be yes. Then, in the United States, there are a few people who are known as conscientious objectors. In other words, they belong to a certain religion that will not permit them to bear arms or pick up arms and kill anybody. If you are a member of that sect, then your answer would be just the opposite. Number 13, do you believe in free elections and rule by the majority? Yes, we believe in it. And your answer would be yes. Number 14, will you give aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States government or the government of the state of Alabama? You know, that question can be twisted any way you wish, but let us say on that let your answer be no. Now, the reason why I said it could be twisted any kind of way, because there may be a conflict between the United States, our government, the governing of the United States and the Constitution of the United States may be in conflict with the Constitution of the state of Alabama. So actually, whatever way you answer that question doesn't have to be wrong, because there is now a conflict, as you know, between the United States and the state of Alabama. So whoever was responsible for writing this, they didn't do a good job. So let your answer be no. Number 15, name some of the duties and the obligations of citizenship. There are many of them. Number 1 is to register and vote. That's one of your duties and one of your obligations as a first-class citizen. So let that be, if you don't say but one or two things, let that be one of your answers to that question. To register and vote. To abide by the rules and regulations of the United States of America and the state in which you live, or in the state, and the state of Alabama. To do unto others as you will have them do unto you. I think that is one of the greatest things that we can say when it comes down to obligations of citizenship. Because if we did unto others as we would have them do unto us, there would be no discrimination. There would be no segregation. There would be no beating up of people, throwing them in jail, giving them bread and water to eat for no reason whatsoever. So you see, if you just say to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we may be able to change the hard heart and soften the heart of some of the diehards that we have to come up against. That is a 15. Then under that you have A. Do you regard, now these duties are, you have just said that some of the obligations of citizenship and the duties of citizenship are to do unto others as we have them do unto